I have fallen. spite of the storm. And I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging seas. The anchor holds in spite of the storm.
To speak a little about that anchor this morning, let us turn to the fourth chapter of 1 John. 1 John 4. Let us begin with verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, for he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth, the spirit of error. Verse 4, want to speak this morning on more of these messages. God is greater. And here we find that, little children, you've overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We must prove that in our own lives, in our own selves, in our own experience. But I want to notice there is a path to get to this goal here in verse 4. We begin in verse 1, where we read, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. This is so very important in our lives today, and it will become more and more important as we go on in this world, a world of deception, a world where the enemy lies in wait, literally to deceive us. I would notice here that John addresses these as little children, but he states, as we find here, that they have already overcome the world, and the reason, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. As little children, we know they have not come to the fullness of overcoming. But the pattern here is what we want to acknowledge and emphasize this morning, because the pattern that they use to overcome the world is the same one that will work for us. And so as we read here in the first verse of this chapter, try the spirits. There are many that are gone out into the world, and he calls them false prophets. Try the spirits. How do you do that? It is so important for us to understand that we must follow through with what John says here. Try the spirits. We'll not turn there, but Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 14:27. Let the prophet speak two or three, let the other judge. We try them by judging them. The word judge means to separate thoroughly. It means to discriminate, to decide, to discern. This means that every person must decide in himself whether the message he is hearing is directly from God. I have heard many over the years, over the radio, TV, different places, different assemblies where we might go, and the preacher get up and affirm, "Now listen, this message is from God and you have to listen to it and obey it." That's not true. Every conscientious preacher should have the absolute assurance that what he is saying is from God. If he is going to conscientiously give out and affirmatively, assuringly give out the word of God, yes, he must be assured of it in his own life. But he cannot dictate that opinion to others. Scripture tells us right here, try the spirits. Paul says, let the prophet speak two or three. The rest of you examine what he's... What are you examining for? To see whether it be of God. This is so imperative for our day because there are a multitude of voices out there trying to emphasize that this is what God says. This is from God. No opinion matters except the one that God speaks to my heart as a hearer, so to speak. It is imperative if we are going to avoid false teaching, false prophet, anything of this nature. We must indeed judge it for ourselves. We must be sure in our own spirit that this message is from God or there is something wrong with it. That has always been the case. A good example of the fact that men must bear the responsibility of the decision they make is found in Jeremiah 42 and 43. We're not going to turn there. But this is a record of Jeremiah the prophet. He was one of those left behind after Nebuchadnezzar had taken the majority of the children of Judah back to Babylon. He was given the opportunity to go to Babylon where he would be treated very kindly. He elected to stay behind with the small remnant that was left in Jerusalem. That remnant came to him and said, "Jeremiah, you know how small we are. Just look around you. There's no one left here. We want you to go before God and we want you to find out what we should do." After 10 days, Jeremiah came back with the answer. He said, "God wants you to stay in this land. He says, I will prosper you. I will build you up. I will protect you. I will not allow you to go into captivity to any nation. Furthermore, specifically, do not go down to Egypt." Those people had to make up their mind whether this message was from God or whether it wasn't. They did. "Jeremiah, you're lying. You speak falsely. We know God intends for us to go down to Egypt, and that's what we're going to do." Even though there were great consequences. And so this I say, if a message is truly from God and a person elects not to receive it, he will endure the consequence. But I emphasize again, God has placed the responsibility for ascertaining whether it's of God or not on the individual hearing it. We must at all cost try the spirits, prove the prophets. It is interesting also that Stephen tells the same story. Again, we'll not turn there, but you remember when they rushed upon Stephen, rushed upon him and gnashing with him with their teeth. It's because the message he preached in Acts 7, he said, "Which of your prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them, which showed before the coming of the just one. Stephen and these prophets were indeed preaching the right message. The just one was Jesus Christ. But they rejected that. And indeed, they would not receive what he said. And so he said here, whom you have been now the betrayers and the murderers. The message was from God, as we find here in verse 2, centered around Christ. But indeed, they rejected it. To try the spirits, we must judge, examine according to the Word of God. That's the measure of what any man says or anything that we hear in our world today. I say again, in these last days, we are being inundated with things that men are wanting us to follow and do, but they are directly opposed and contrary to God's word. Therefore, they must be rejected. And so it is the word of God that is important here. Those of Berea in Acts 17:11 followed exactly the right pattern. We read that they searched the scriptures daily. This is imperative for our lives today. Searching the scriptures daily. Why? Whether those things were so. Those men who were preaching the gospel were men who were in the upper room. They were preaching this message of divine grace, which we rejoice in so greatly today, but those of Berea followed exactly the right pattern, searching the scriptures whether they were so. This is again the way we try the spirits today. And it is so important that we do that. This is the way it has been down through the ages. Again, we'll not turn there, but you can read the whole story in Deuteronomy 13, beginning with verse 1, and he tells us this: if there arise among you a prophet, and he gives you a sign or wonder. In recent years, men have used these spectacular things that happen, these miraculous things that happen. Many of them, I am absolutely confident that God did perform miracles. He did perform these great things. But the problem came when men then began to preach another gospel that is not of God. They used the sign or the wonder to prove that God was behind them, but God is not. God is only responsible for his word. This is why trying the spirits must be measured by the standard of God's word. And so we read it here, way back in Deuteronomy. If the sign or wonder come to pass, then he says, let's go after other gods which you've not known. Then what do you do? You shall not hearken unto the words of that prophet. You shall walk after the Lord your God. You'll fear him. Then notice, keep his commandments, obey his voice. God has written his commandments and his voice is recorded in the word of God. This is the only measure that we have in our world today to determine between truth and error. If it coincides with God's word, then indeed it is of God. Every message of men, I don't care who they are, every message of men must be measured by the word of God. That is, his voice. Jesus said it this way in John 8:31. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You know what a disciple is? A disciple is a learner. If you continue in my word, you will continue to learn, and we are to learn of him. 2 Timothy 2:15, a very familiar scripture. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, doing what? Rightly dividing the word of truth. That means the word of truth must be viewed in the context in which is written. There have been so many ungodly wrong doctrines published throughout this world because men took scripture out of context. It must be according to the word of God, rightly divided. And so we conclude from all of this that the way to try these spirits is indeed to trust the light of God's word. And it's the light of the word of God that is going to reveal the darkness of this world today. I want to concentrate now on verse 4. You are of God, little children. You've overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We will say a little bit more about he that is in you here in just a moment. But who is he that is in the world? There are a great many definitions, clarifications of he that is in the world. Earlier in this book, we find that John warned of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. All of that is included in the world. I want to confine our message today to 6 major points describing he that is in the world. The first one we see in verse 1, we've already commented much on that, the false prophet. He is in the world. We must beware of him and overcome him, as we have seen. Second one is in verse 3. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist. It is important for us to understand when John calls this the spirit of Antichrist, he is not warning of the Antichrist himself. The Antichrist will not be revealed officially until about 250 days before the middle of the week. All of the church will be in heaven at that time. John is warning us about things right now. He tells us that the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. It was at the beginning of the church age. So what is the spirit of Antichrist? Simply stated, it means that men would deny Christ his rightful place, authority, and position. This is what men are doing today in denying Christ. This is what John is getting at. They're not confessing this Christ who is come in the flesh. What does it mean that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh? Quite simply, he came down and he became man in order that he might accomplish, establish, and orchestrate God's redemption. When men deny this Christ, they are denying redemption. And so when a message, any message, denies a part of redemption, we are to view it as being suspect, is what the Apostle Paul and John are telling us. Then the third one that is mentioned here is in verse 5. These same ones are of the world. Therefore, they speak of the world, and the world hears them. The way that they speak and the way that they hear is directly because of the natural reasoning mind. This is what we hear in our world today. It is imperative that you and I as believers do not live our lives based on natural reasoning to control or to solve present day circumstance. I hope that's not just a complicated way of getting across what I want to. It means that there are natural circumstances today over which we have no control many times, but men try to solve it with natural reasoning rather than the Word of God. And many times they wind up following the ways of the flesh. And the ways of the flesh are never the way of the Word of God. And so it is so important that we do not embrace the thinking of the world. And if you've heard some of the thinking of the world in recent days, it would be laughable if it were not so tragic. Did you know that a man can get pregnant and then have an abortion? Did you know that? You see, when men make such statements, and women have made these statements, one was asked, "Can you define a woman?" "I cannot." To us, it is stupidity. But this is nothing more than a denial of God. And this is what we must guard against in our own lives today. We cannot allow men to dictate such foolishness unto us. We must indeed overcome. And what that means is not that you're going to eliminate it, but it does mean you're not going to allow their thinking to influence our lives. Cannot allow it in anything. The scripture answers very clearly. Isaiah 55:8 says this. God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways." We must go the all of that chapter, "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts." Every believer must see to it that in his own life that my thoughts coincide or are adjusted to match God's thoughts. We cannot conduct our lives based on natural reasoning whatsoever. Psalm 119:105 says it this way, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path." I was impressed when we were studying the book of Psalms, Psalm 119, the longest one. If I am not mistaken, every word, maybe with the exception of one verse, every verse is a reference, some reference to the Word of God. This is how we must take our lives, as being based upon the Word of God. David also said this in Psalm 119:11. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart." Why? "That I might not sin against thee." It is only when God's word is incorporated into our lives that we are preserved from sinning against the Lord. The fourth point of he that is in the world, it's one that's familiar. It's not mentioned here in John, though it certainly would be alluded to. Jesus said it this way in John 12:31. "Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." The prince of this world is none other than Satan himself. And so it is Satan that we must overcome in this world, in our day. And it's because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We understand how Jesus overcame the enemy, the devil, when he was in this world. When Satan came against him, Jesus said to him, "It is written." The pattern has not changed. The way that we overcome Satan is by abiding by and claiming the Word of God exactly as Jesus did. I have pointed out many times before, but I believe it bears repeating. Sometimes people look on the victory over Satan, and we can and must have victory over Satan today. Sometimes people point that out as when it's all over. Then you go shouting down the street and glory and praise God, he gave all his victory. Do you know how Jesus felt after he gained his victory over Satan? They literally had to carry him unto themselves. He was so exhausted. And so we find out that our victory over Satan or any other victory may not always end the way that we think it should. But if we have victory in spirit over Satan, it is victory for us. The fifth one that is in the world, Jesus said in John 16:33, in the world you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Tribulation comes in many different forms. Some of that comes in the form of people that are in the world. Still have to overcome tribulation. And the reason we can do it is because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. It is here that we absolutely must fortify ourselves when those bringing such tribulation against us, when they would come against us, we must fortify ourselves with Christ and again follow his principles, follow his pattern in claiming the Word of God. Then the sixth one, again, we'll not turn there. You remember it well. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 47 is where that Paul is making a difference between the heavenly Adam and the earthly Adam. He says this, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. There you have the two. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We are not going to get away from him that is earthy until we are literally translated out of this world. This means that you and I must contend with that old nature that we inherited from Father Adam. We must contend with that old nature as long as we are in this world. But again, greater is he that is in you, that is the life of Christ, than that old nature which would bring us down, which indeed is a part of the world. Let us close this morning with Colossians 3. Somewhat of a summation of all of these things that we have seen. Colossians, the third chapter. Greater is he that is in you. Verse 3. You are dead. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. This tells us once again, Paul agrees here, it is Christ in you. Greater is he that is in you. Galatians 2:20, that familiar verse that we have seen so many times, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul explains how he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world, because he that is in you is specifically Christ himself. And that glorious, victorious life, he's already told us, I have overcome the world already. We simply believe him to do it in our own individual experience. Now notice verse 4, or verse 5. Mortify therefore. The little word therefore points back to verses 3 and 4. It is because Christ is in you. It is because that Christ is our life. That is how you mortify or make to die your members which are upon the earth. Once again, the scene is still in the earth. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the earth. And all of these things that we have noticed, it is so important that we understand our natural reasoning. We're not going into all of these individual things. You can read them for yourselves. find the things that must be made dead. They must be mortified in our own experience. Very practical things that men wrestle with today. And I say that many try to justify by natural reasoning today. We must not allow it in our lives. And so all of these things, the reasoning, the fleshly nature, the characteristics of the Antichrist, all of the different ways of the false prophet, all of these different things, we must indeed mortify that, and we can, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, concupiscence, covetousness, idolatry, which things sake in verse 6, the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. Verse 7, in which you also walked. All of these things were a part of our lives at one time, but they must cease immediately. Cannot allow these things to continue. And so verse 8, put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Did you know filthy communication out of your mouth is not just cussing? It's anything that is contrary to God's word. And so this is what must be put out of our mouths and vocabulary today. Those things are directly opposed to the word of God. And then we're exhorted in verse 10, put on the new man. This is why greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It's this new man, Christ Jesus, that now has this entire house under new management. And the scripture promises, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, meaning that we will always conquer this in the world scenario if we simply surrender completely and fully to that new greater life that God has placed within every believer.